It's here and now, and it was a big week for endorsements in the 2016 race for the White House, with just a little more than a week to go before the Iowa caucuses. Sarah Palin, Jerry Falwell Jr., and John Wayne's daughter all came out for Donald Trump. Glenn Beck will be campaigning for Ted Cruz tomorrow. Three New Hampshire newspapers gave the nod to John Kasich. Polls show he's on the rise there. And on the Democratic side, Hillary Clinton won the approval of Planned Parenthood and the Human Rights Campaign. Bernie Sanders took issue with that. So let's get to our weekly roundtable.
Here and now,
2016.
Joining us today, Rick Klein, ABC News political director. Hi, Rick.
Hey, great to be with you.
Great to have you. And Juana Summers, politics editor for Mashable. Welcome back to you, Juana.
Thanks for having me, Jerry.
And for the first time, I think, in the history of this roundtable, I'm going to start with the Democrats today because we've got quite a race on the Democratic side now. One of the big headlines of the week was a poll from CNN and WMUR that put Bernie Sanders at 60% to Clinton's 33 in New Hampshire. He's also ahead of her 51 to 43% in Iowa, according to a new CNN ORC poll out yesterday. And yet another poll indicating he's closing the gap with her nationally. Juana, your thoughts on the Democratic race right now?
This is certainly much more interesting than I think most of us ever expected this race to be. I've spent some time this week talking to folks who support Hillary Clinton's campaign, and they're concerned about the strategy here. They knew that Bernie Sanders is a formidable candidate. He's a longtime politician, but they never quite expected things to be this tight. And now we're less than 2 weeks away from Iowa. The question is, will he win either of those two early states? And the polls suggest that there is, in fact, a chance that he could win both Iowa and New Hampshire, which would be a real shock to Clinton, who this summer everybody assumed had the nomination locked up.
And there was a bit of a fight over Planned Parenthood, which gave their endorsement to Hillary Clinton. Bernie Sanders called Planned Parenthood part of the establishment. And in Iowa, Clinton pushed back.
If it were part of the establishment, that would be time for all of us to just quit having to work so hard and defend it and fight for it. Well, that's just not the case. We have to keep working to make sure people are not taken advantage of, not stripped of their rights.
Rick, what are your thoughts on the race on the Democratic side? And is there a way for Clinton to push back against this Sanders surge?
It wasn't supposed to be that way at all. No one thought this would happen, probably including Bernie Sanders. And the difficulty that she has now is that this firestorm has already swept across Democratic circles in Iowa, in New Hampshire, and beyond. And it becomes more difficult to contain. So you hear her now, as you mentioned, this fight over Planned Parenthood. There's a fight now over foreign policy. She's also has a bunch of her surrogates going out and just reminding people this man is a self-identified Democratic socialist, and it would hurt Democrats up and down the ballot. They're trying these things, but these kind of movements fuel themselves. And if he were to win Iowa and New Hampshire, keep in mind, even Barack Obama didn't win both of those states against Hillary Clinton and was able to win the nomination. A lot of reasons to think Sanders is not the next Obama. However, momentum takes over. And that's why they are so worried right now about the possibility, the very real possibility, that Bernie Sanders is 2-0 midway through the first four states.
Well, but Clinton supporters would say once they get to South Carolina, where the demographics are different, there's a much bigger black population, Clinton is going to do much better than Sanders. Let's listen here to Sanders speaking on Martin Luther King Day on Monday, campaigning in South Carolina.
What Dr. King said is we have got to combat racism, but we have also got to combat income and wealth inequality.
Juana, has Sanders done a better job in attracting minority voters?
You certainly have to say he's putting in the effort early on in his campaign. If you think back to that rally where he was interrupted by Black Lives Matter protesters, there were a lot of people out there saying that Bernie Sanders, you know, wasn't talking about race in the way they wanted to hear. A lot of African-Americans that I've spoken to on the campaign trail have said that the way that he kind of couches this in this whole in his rhetoric of that everything is about class just really rings false to them. I think that, though, that he will have some trouble when you get to South Carolina. You just saw a critique in The Atlantic of Bernie Sanders with the way that he addressed the issue of reparations, that he talked about at a brown and black forum in Iowa. So he will still have some challenges there. His campaign, though, just recently announced he would be touring historically black colleges and universities across the country in order to rally up support, particularly among young black voters. So a lot of work still to go, but he will certainly have some hurdles as we head into those crucial – those next two early states.
All right. And we'll be watching – and by the way, we'll be broadcasting from Iowa and New Hampshire as we get into these states. But let's go to the Republican side now. Ohio Governor John Kasich, who hadn't gotten a lot of attention attention or traction until now. Got a boost this week. A poll showed him second to Donald Trump in New Hampshire. He also won the endorsement of three New Hampshire newspapers last weekend. Here he is on CNN.
What I find is people, you know, they're a little frustrated, but, you know, it's the narrative you want to give them. I mean, I believe these problems are easily solvable if we can get people to be Americans rather than to be ideologues or Republicans and Democrats. And people leave the meetings and they basically say, you know, I'm more hopeful.
Rick, is this a breakout moment for Kasich in the fight to be, I guess, number two in New Hampshire, be the establishment candidate over Rubio Christie Bush?
Only if that happens. I think for Kasich, for Bush, for Christie, maybe for Rubio, it has to happen in New Hampshire because we have this dynamic that's locked in where it seems inevitable that Cruz and Donald Trump will be 1-2 in Iowa. Who can be the next breakout? So no one's been able to get any kind of sustained momentum around the idea that they will be the establishment choice. In fact, you have this remarkable scene where the establishment is right now trying to decide, do you want to kill Donald Trump or you want to kill Ted Cruz? Instead, they're divided over who to even to oppose, much less who to get behind. So I don't think it's there for Kasich just yet.
But do you think whoever comes in second in New Hampshire, if an establishment Republican comes in second in New Hampshire, that the others are just going to fall away and drop out and everyone's going to try to get everybody on the establishment side to support that one candidate, Rick?
That's the only hope they have, although there's no signs of that immediately. And that's the thing. It's there for someone to grab, but no one has been able to take a hold of it yet.
One of the two Republican frontrunners that Rick was just talking about, Donald Trump and Ted Cruz, got into a lot more fighting than they had before this week. Trump got into a little trouble quoting from the Bible in a speech at Liberty University in Virginia this week. Here he is.
2 Corinthians, right? 2 Corinthians 3:17. That's the whole ballgame. Where the Spirit of the Lord, right? Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty.
And, of course, people have pointed out it's 2 Corinthians, not 2 Corinthians. But then, of course, the big news this week for Donald Trump, Sarah Palin endorsed him. Here she is.
You ready for a commander-in-chief who will let our warriors do their job and go kick ISIS? Ready for someone who will secure our borders, to secure our jobs, and to secure our homes. Ready to make America great again. Are you ready to stump for Trump? I'm here to support the next president of the United States, Donald Trump.
I can't remember a presidential election where we had to bleep out more words than this one. But Juana, your thoughts on how Trump and Cruz are doing?
This has been a really, really fascinating cycle already, all I can say about that. But Sarah Palin's coming into this race for Donald Trump as opposed to Ted Cruz. She supported his Senate campaign. Was really, really fascinating. I think it shows just how important the evangelical vote is for Donald Trump. If he wants to best Cruz, particularly in Iowa, where evangelical voters, homeschool voters, are a huge segment of the electorate, he needs firepower like what Sarah Palin brings. Now, she's faded from relevance quite a bit over the last few years since she was the 2008 vice presidential nominee. But in many corners of the world, she is still a household name. Many people like her politics. And as Donald Trump looks to narrow the gap there with Ted Cruz inching in on his territory, so to speak, Sarah Palin could be an asset. Now, of course, we also saw this week how Sarah Palin can backfire. She's been getting a lot of heat, so to speak, for her comments about her son Track's arrest and linking it to President Obama's treatment of veterans and domestic abuse. We saw a lot of veterans kind of step out and tell their stories, saying that this isn't about PTSD. And they were very offended, frankly, that Sarah Palin's using her son as a political prop.
And by the way, Ted Cruz has been calling Donald Trump part of the establishment. We get back to that word establishment. And meanwhile, the establishment, people like Bob Dole coming out saying nobody likes Ted Cruz. Here's Ted Cruz fighting back.
We said from the beginning that the Washington cartel was going to panic more and more. As conservatives unite behind our campaign, you're going to see the Washington cartel firing every shot they can, every cannon they can, because the Washington cartel lives on cronyism. It lives on making deals.
Rick, it does seem as though the momentum is with Trump, not Cruz right now.
I think that's right. You know, just a remark on this moment that we're having here. I mean, we thought this campaign had everything. And then you have that certain ex-governor that you referenced expatiating on all manners of thoughts, all theories, yeah, going rogue almost immediately. I do get the sense that it was a critical moment for Donald Trump because conservatives were just starting to be skeptical of him. And to have that powerful validator, I think Ted Cruz is caught on his heels right now, dropping a little bit in the polls, but I think very much in the mix.
If we end up with Trump on the right with the nomination and Sanders on the left, is there going to be a third party candidate, Juana?
I am not sure if there will be a third party candidate, but I can tell you it's going to be the best election I've covered so far. I think that it'll be a really striking statement about the state of U.S. politics and the amount of discontent with the status quo if we were to see a Trump-Sanders general election. And that's really going to be a powerful statement if it does occur. And the fact that we've been talking about it as being plausible speaks a lot to the feelings in this country among voters at the very big ground level.
Rick, you hearing anything about a third party candidate quickly?
Michael Bloomberg's name is out there, as it often is. It could come from the right, come from the center. It depends on how it breaks down. It is wild right now to have this unsettled moment for the establishments in both parties. I don't remember another time covering politics where you legitimately didn't know what was going to happen when the voting started.
Rick Klein, ABC News political director, and Juana Summers, politics editor for Mashable, with just a week and a couple of days left until the Iowa caucuses. We will be there on Here and Now. Thanks to both of you for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you.